The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Passer Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side curly on the screen 20. Got a block 25. Into space 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown LA.
Early stages, second quarter. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad you're with us on this Monday night. Go to the archives, the Under the Hood podcast, wherever you find your podcast, whether it's iTunes, whether it is SoundCloud, wherever you find podcasts, look for my name, Jonathan Hood. Look for Under the Hood. That's the show. Download it. Subscribe. If you haven't heard Summer of Football, this summer we've had some tremendous guests, especially on the college football side. Now, the NFL season is already here with preseason games, but college football fans, if you're looking for something different, you are going to hear some great guests that we've had on. Trevor Maddich is one of those guests. Brad Edwards, one of those guests. Mark Packer, one of those guests as well. We've had some tremendous college football and professional football guests for Summer of Football. We started this in late June. Here we are in mid-August, and we just continue to roll when it comes to Summer of Football. It's a celebration of the great game of football. College, pro, fantasy, maybe some sound that you might have missed. All part of Summer of Football every night at 8 o'clock with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000. But again, go back to the archives. Look for the Under the Hood show with Jonathan Hood. You can hear live interviews from Summer of Football. Tonight, we are going to hear from Matt Bowen, who is a former NFL player, also an analyst for ESPN and ESPN.com. His thoughts on Roquan Smith, his thoughts on some of the storylines around the NFL. We'll talk to him in 5 minutes from now here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Before we hear from Matt, let me tell you my thoughts on a story that I covered on Saturday and Sunday. I was here Saturday with Ben Hartsock, and then Sunday with Myron Metcalf. We were here Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, talking about this here on ESPN 1000. If you were with me, you know that the breaking story of the weekend was about Maryland football. And the story came across that there was a scandal taking place with DJ Durkin, former NIU coach, now with Maryland, and there was a scandal taking place. And we're going to find out in short order exactly what's going on here. The Big Ten's taking a couple of hits here. First from Ohio State and the fallout there with Ohio State regarding a former coach on the Urban Meyer staff involved in an alleged abuse case, domestic abuse case. And then now we have the Maryland case. So the Maryland case is something that hits home to me for a number of reasons. But there was a situation that took place on May 29th. An offensive lineman, Jordan McNair, hospitalized after showing signs of heat stroke and exhaustion while participating in a team workout. McNair has difficulty finishing a set of 110-yard sprints and is found to have a body temperature of 106 degrees at a local hospital. Sources later told ESPN.com that McNair did not finish the runs on his own strength and was eventually walked around the practice field before taking in for treatment. After evaluation of McNair at the football facilities, EMT responders call in a male patient with a seizure, and McNair dies on June 13th, dies at the hospital at age 19. ESPN found out that it was because of a heat stroke. That's the cause of death based on what happened at that practice on May 29th. So then from there, there's investigations done by ESPN and others. And we come to find out that on August 11th, a couple days ago, Maryland announced that DJ Durkin, the head coach for Maryland, former NIU coach, has been placed on administrative leave pending an external review. Evans says in a statement, "I'm extremely concerned by the allegations of unacceptable behaviors by members of our football staff detailing in recent media reports." Evans says that the university is committed to a full investigation of the program. So there you go. That was the athletic director, Evans, talking about that in a statement. And so the reason why this hits home for me is because it's not like we haven't heard this before, right? Where you have a kid that cannot seem to finish the practice, and maybe that kid is kind of pushed over to the side, you know, move the drill. This kid is going through some issues here. Just move the drill. And it goes back to a quote that Gerard Cherry told me on this program. Gerard Cherry is a former New England Patriot, three-time NFL champion. He does talk shows at ESPN Cleveland, our sister station. Gerard Cherry told me that coaching in football for some is like mock military, in that you can tell a kid, "I need you to bust your ass. I need you to do everything I ask you to do, and then some." Now, what is coaching? Coaching is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But I think that on the surface, coaching is supposed to be able to help you get the most out of your ability. That's a simplistic, off the top of my head definition for coaching, to try to get the most out of someone, that you're trying to coach them to be able to reach their the height, the zenith of what they can do as an individual. And if in the athletic field, when it comes to sports, you are trying to do all you can to be able to make sure that player can be able to get them the most out of that person's ability, right? And so in this situation, this young man dies because of heat stroke. And when I say mock military, and it's not military, mock military is what Gerard Cherry told me. He says that there are some coaches that he's dealt with, and this is not a new story, but there's been coaches that have been out there that's trying to demand the very best and trying to go overboard sometimes. Now, we also come to find out in this investigation that there's been some verbal abuse taking place by some of the coaches. Now, DJ Durkin, along with three of his assistants that are part of the performance team, the athletic trainers, have also been suspended with pay pending this external review. But the thing is that there has to be a line when it comes to coaching, right? There has to be a line. The line has to be, if I'm going to verbally abuse someone, is it going to deter the athlete from being the best that he can be? Now, generationally, because I'm a Gen Xer, if a coach is coming after me and dog cussing me and trying to get the most out of me, I understand it, because that's I didn't consider coaches verbally abusing me. I thought that coaches were trying to get the most out of me. But what was good for me in the 90s is maybe not as good for some student athletes in 2018. Where's the line when it comes to verbal abuse? And so that's part of this story as well with the University of Maryland. Again, we'll find out more. I'm not saying that Durkin needs to be fired or his coaches needs to be fired. But what I'm saying is that when you have student athletes saying that they were verbally abused, they felt like they were uncomfortable. And then, of course, the death of this young man. I mean, obviously, they need a spotlight on that program to find out why this is happening. As we do Summer of Football here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, we go now to a man, a former NFL player, is a television writer, a television broadcaster, as well as a writer for ESPN.com. It is Matt Bowen. He joins us on Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. Matt, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Matt, before we go into some thoughts about Roquan Smith, can you just piggyback on what I'm talking about regarding Maryland? It's a story that we talked about all weekend about the University of Maryland. Can you tell me what is the dividing line when it comes to verbal abuse versus actual coaching? Can you decipher the two?
Yeah, I think you can. You can as a player and you can as a coach. You know, I've been coaching at the high school level at IC Catholic out here in Elmhurst the last 4 years now. And obviously I was coached at the high school level, the college level, and the pro level as a player. And I think when you're talking about coaching, and every player is coached differently. You know, there's some guys you can come down on. There's some guys you have to whisper to. You learn that, and I've learned that the last 4 years, that you can't coach everyone the same way. But there's a difference. When you do come down on a player, you want constructive criticism. You still want to be teaching. Look, I equate it to being no different than the way I look at coaching now, is that if you're teaching in an English classroom or you're teaching history, okay, you're still teaching. You're just a different subject. You're out in the grass. You're not in the classroom per se, but it's the way you communicate, okay? And constructive criticism do make players better. You do want to coach players hard, but you have to watch how hard you are coaching them, because you always want them to respond to you. When you lose players is when you are verbally abusive to them. So I'll tell you right now, as a player, and I've had hard coaches, very tough coaches at both the college and the pro level, you're not going to respond to guys like that. I wouldn't as a player. You want to play hard for guys. You want to work for guys. You want to impress guys that coach you the right way. It's always been that way. It's the way I coach. It's the way I wanted to be coached. I wanted to be pushed. I wanted to be held accountable. And I wanted to reach my ceiling as a player. But you have to. But it's a two-way street, too. It's a two-way street always between the player and the coach. How you respond usually comes from how you're being coached. Like I said, there's a way to coach hard. There's a way to coach hard the right way, to where you're pushing your players and getting them to maximize their ability and to improve and to develop every day. And that's the reward of coaching. But there's a path to doing it. It has to be done the right way.
Matt, what was your initial reaction to this story about Maryland? Because I feel bad for the kid, Jordan McNair, because he passes away because of heat stroke. I mean, when you saw that story, what was going through your mind?
Well, the first thing that goes through your mind is you're heartbroken for his family. Or you're heartbroken for his teammates. You're heartbroken for the school. You never want to see something like that happen at any level of football when it comes to a conditioning drill. And anyone who's played, whether he played, like you were saying in the intros, in the 90s or the 80s, or today, there's still conditioning work. There's still tough times in every sport. We're never talking about football or hockey, basketball and training camp, soccer in the off season. There's always conditioning. But again, that falls on the coaching staff and how you're taking care of your players. And again, going back to pushing your players and pushing your players the right way, like I said, getting the most out of them, but knowing when to pull back, knowing when enough is enough. You have to know that as a coach. Whether you're a strength and conditioning coach, a defensive back coach, quarterback coach, doesn't matter. You have to know that as a coach. And reading more into the story, you know, you're disappointed reading it. You're disappointed because of the environment. You know, and so much today in sports is talked about culture, you know, creating a winning culture, a disciplined culture. And I understand that. Like I said, we talk about that at the high school level, is finding that right culture that produces winning, produces accountability, produces discipline. But it's one thing to talk about it. To get there, you have to do it the right way. Because, again, it goes back to the players that you're coaching. Because it's really their team. At the end of the day, as a coach, you moderate the team. It's the players' team. And to get them to respond, to get them to do their best and to want to be there and want to compete and want to push through tough practices that are done the right way, you have to coach them the right way and put them in an environment where they're comfortable and they feel safe. They have to be able to feel safe, because we're still talking about amateur athletes. This isn't the NFL. We're talking about college athletes in this story, and where I coach at the high school level, it has to be a comfortable environment where they feel safe. Because if it's not, you're not doing your job as a coach.
Matt Bowen, NFL analyst with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. What do you remember about watching film on Roquan Smith coming into the draft? Because at Georgia, I thought he was a real difference maker, Matt.
He was. I did a bunch of work for the SEC Network leading up to the draft. And I was down there covering the draft that weekend. And I'll tell you, Roquan, you can make a case that he was the best defensive football player in the country last year, up there with Bradley Chubb from NC State. because he was such an impact player. When you turn on the film, he always flashes on the film. That's what you want. We're talking about a top 10 pick. You want someone that consistently flashes. Every tape you put on doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what game, doesn't matter what quarter, doesn't matter what game situation. He's going to flash in the tape. He did that all the time. Did it in big games. Did it in games that weren't broadcast on national television. I'll give you an example. I was watching the film of Georgia Tech. Yeah. Everyone knows Georgia Tech is old school. They're running triple options. They put Roquan about 7 or 8 yards. I don't even know what you would call him. I guess like a rover. Just have him run the alleys. And he was just tracking down the ball carrier. And I'll tell you, when he gets there, he is physical on contact. My favorite thing about him, because everyone wants to talk about the speed, which I love. I mean, everyone loves 4 or 5 speed at the linebacker position. But there's really two things. It's a natural awareness or the natural instincts to find the football. That's what he does. He's a step ahead of everyone else when you're watching the film. And the other thing is he tackles. We don't talk about that enough. Throughout the draft process, it's always about measurables. It's always about speed. You know, it's the vertical jump, the bench press test. Give me the guy who tackles. I can't coach you if you don't tackle. I can't start you an inside linebacker in the National Football League against the Green Bay Packers if you don't tackle. That's one of the things that impressed me the most about him on film was his accountability and his fundamentals on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question he's physical. There's no question he's a fit for the modern game. I love him in Vic Fangio's defense. That's another thing. But the small things, the details that he's already mastered, he's a step ahead of the game.
Matt, are you surprised it took so long for him to sign? Because there was a clause in his contract he wasn't happy with. Are you surprised it took this long?
I think everyone's surprised it took this long. You know, I never blame the player in the situation. I've been in training camp before with guys who have held out for multiple weeks, and that stuff happens. I think as a teammate, you have to understand that the player has to take care of themselves. And I'm always going to take the player's side in this situation because nothing's really guaranteed that much more anymore in the NFL. I mean, you see the numbers that come out. I understand that. But I'm talking about the future of your career, how long you can play, how much stability you have in the NFL. You have to be protected. You have to be protected in the sense where you can play your best football and get the best contract possible so you are playing your best football. And, again, if I'm Coach Nagy, would I want him in camp sooner? Of course I would. There's a lot of reps he missed. And you can't get those reps back. This thing has to be, you cannot get those reps back. So he is behind. But now your job as a coach, you're working overtime every night. That's what you're doing. And you should enjoy that. You should want to do that if you're on the Bears defensive coaching staff. You got a top 10 player coming in that can be a game changer. You're going to have to work some overtime, whether it's after practice, before practice, watching more film, going through the details, going through the calls, the terminology, the adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, what he does versus a tight end running a post route versus running a shallow cross route. All those things that we take for granted, he's going to have to start from day one, and he's late. But as a coach, you say, look, this is my job now. This is my job to get him ready so I can have him week one. And even if he doesn't start week one at Lambeau Field, he's in pads, he's ready to play, and you can get him on the field in critical game situations where he can be that player you saw on his college film.
Matt Bowen, writer and analyst for ESPN, on the Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Matt, I kind of thought that at times, I've been saying this a lot, that going back to last year with the Bears, I thought that I saw a playoff-caliber defense at times with this team. But is there something that you can forecast for this defense that maybe they can capitalize on from what they did last year?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is the play of their front seven and what they do in the defensive front. You know, if you look at their film and how they play, you know, the Bears aren't a big dime team, okay? They play, a lot of nickel. And with that, they have two linebackers in the field at all times. That's going to be a fit for Roquan. But really, it's the play of their front seven. Now, you want to see Leonard Floyd take that step, okay? He's got to take that step. At this point of his career, you want him to be that top 10 guy on the edge. That's vital to their season. But really also, look at what they did in the secondary last year. Now they're starting to get their hands on the football. And that's a complete game changer. When you start flipping the field because of turnovers, when you start attacking the ball at the point of attack like Kyle Fuller did last year, when you see the flashes from the young safeties, whether it's coming downhill and dropping their pads and getting their hands on the football, that is critical. And I've always said this. You know, rushing coverage, they work together. Some days the secondary plays great, helps out the pass rush. Other times the pass rush, it gets home, now the ball's flying up in the air, and as a defensive back, you know, sometimes it just falls into your lap. and you're going back the other way for six. But there is a lot of promise about this defense. I did a podcast with Bill Barnwell over at ESPN about 2 weeks ago. We talked about teams that could be surprised on defense, that could jump into that top 10 mix at the end of the year. I mentioned the Bears because they have the personnel, they have the coaching to really make a positive step this year. And think about it from this perspective, too. You're going to be a better offensive football team this year in Chicago. You're going to be a better offensive football team. You're going to play with more tempo. You're going to score more points. You're going to give the defense more field position. That is key as well, because now you're not starting protecting the short field anymore. Now you're starting in positive field position. That gives you more opportunity as well in your defensive game plan.
I have a problem with some of these teams not signing quality guys. I talked about this earlier, Matt. When it comes to Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, still not in camp. Mm-hmm. They're still trying to figure. I believe, I've said this a couple of times. Look, I understand that the NFL, at least probably from an owner's standpoint, from a fan standpoint, you know, they love to see offense. But I'm a guy that grew up watching balance in my football teams. Whether when you get the balance of a good offense and defense, man, that's what you want. That's the elixir to be able to have sustained success as a football team. I just think that when it comes to Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, these are two different situations, but at the same time, there is so much of a focus on offense that they're trying to make defensive players expendable. You still got to stop somebody in this league, can't you?
Right, and those are the two guys that impact how many points an offense scores. Because what do? They hit the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys are so valuable today's defenses because of how offensive football is played now. It's just this, and they're two of the most dominant players in the NFL. They really are. If you watch film on Mack or Donald, I mean, that is teaching tape. There's a lot of stuff there you can't even teach. If you're a coach, you say, well, I mean, how many guys am I going to show film of Aaron Donald?
Mm-hmm.
You want to show it to them, but at the same time, think, well, they can't do that. They're never going to be able to do that. They're unique players. They're game changers. They're impact guys. And you always have to know where they are on the field. They're going to impact your protection schemes every single time you drop back to pass. You know, and I agree with you because you think about it from this perspective. You're paying big money for quarterbacks. You're paying big money for guys that can catch the ball, right? That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack are the erasers. They're the guys that take that away. So they're just as valuable, in my opinion.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. So tell me about IC Prep now. Give me a scouting report on your team. How are you guys looking?
Well, we're just getting started. You know, we had our summer camp. We're into our fall camp now. And, you know, it comes up quick next Friday night. You know, we play Altoff Catholic out of Belleville. And we're playing halfway. So we're going to meet them at Illinois Western down in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And play. We have a much tougher schedule this year. We bump up to 4A. You know, we were in 3A the last two seasons, so we bump up to 4A this year. And it's going to be a challenge. I mean, we graduated some great players, just like every other high school coach. You go into a season, and you have strengths, you have weaknesses, you have things that are kind of unknown. And you're going to find that out when you play the games. But I like what we've done from our schedule. We play Altoff Catholic, who has been very good in 4A. And then the week after that, we play Joliet Catholic. So we're playing quality football teams. That's the best thing you can do at this level. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can do is challenge yourself, play a tough schedule, because it makes you better. And if you do make a run to the state playoffs, it gets you prepared for that. It puts you in some adverse situations. It gives you some matchups that are tougher to win. And it puts your personnel in situations where they got to play against guys that are sometimes Division I football players. And there's not Division I football players all over the field in the high school level. So it really challenges your players. And I think that's the best thing about it. I'm excited to see him play. That's what I always say to my defensive backs every Friday. I can't wait to watch you guys play. That's my favorite part of it, is to watch them play, watch them compete, watch them play for each other, and be put in some tough situations. That's what football is about, and it's what it's really about, in my opinion, at the high school level, is just developing these players for things later in life. And when they have tougher situations later in life, my hope is they can go back to their senior year in high school and say, well, I've been in tough situations before. I can handle this now.
Well, keep in mind something. Whether you win or lose, Matt, you have a forum here to do your press conference for IC Prep. So make sure you're ready. Stay by your phone, because your press conference will be right here. I want to hear all about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the more I've been coaching, I'm kind of turning into Belichick now. So I'm not very good anymore when I talk about my own team. I'm not very good. I'm just kind of like Belichick, just kind of nod, you know, nod and move on.
So, I'll still take the quotes
pretty soon,
anyway.
Pretty soon I'm going to start taking my hoodies and cutting the sleeves off. I'm going to start looking like that man, too.
An intimidating look. He'll scare the kids that way, man. You can't do that. I'm glad you spent some time, man. Much success. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
It is Matt Bowen from ESPN, the writer and also analyst for ESPN, with us here on Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right, we've got some tickets to give away between now and 10 o'clock. I got your hookup. You want two pairs of tickets for the Fantasy Football Convention? Let me tell you about it right here. The Fantasy Football Convention is the 13th annual. I can't believe it's 13. 13th annual Fantasy Football Convention Championship. Tickets are on sale now. If you buy them online, click the events tab at the ESPN Chicago Facebook page. $10 for the convention, only $15 for a convention and live draft. This year's convention is Saturday, August 25th. It's right around the corner. Saturday, August 25th at Joe's Live in Rosemont. Special guests include Phil Yates and Stepania Bell. Also, Yurko, Waddle, Mongo, Sylvie, Carmen, Cap, all part of the mix. Plus, ESPN 1000's fantasy football expert, audio man Jeff Beller, also part of this as well. All brought to you by Miller Lite. Stay by your listening device on how you can win. This hour and next hour, I got two pairs of tickets for the Fantasy Football Convention. If you've never been, it is a trip. It's nothing like you hear on the air from your favorite ESPN 1000 personality. So just be ready. It's totally different than what you hear from, in a good way, what you hear on ESPN 1000. So if you want tickets, stay by listening device so you can win this hour and next hour. Tales from the Hood is next.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks at Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team, the Wildcats, returned to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy season tickets at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers coming up at the top of the hour here on ESPN 1000. So we talk Cubs with him, and we got to find out who's the pettiest in the sports weekend. We got that as well in our 9 o'clock hour. And tickets. Listen closely. You want to go to the Fantasy Football Convention Championship? You can win this half hour right here on UTH. All right, let's take a look at some of the stories we have here. Front of the hood, start here. Teen has intimate relationship with creepy zombie doll, is the headline. Teen has intimate relationship with creepy zombie doll, and they're set to marry next month. Yes, Felicity Cadlick, who has her doll's name tattooed on her arm, showers the figure with kisses and dresses her in pink clothes. Story goes, as I turn the page, a teenager says that she's set to marry a creepy zombie doll that she's fallen harder for than any of her past boyfriends. Felicity Cadlick claims that she has an intimate relationship with the young female doll called Kelly, which is covered in fake blood and has a mangled face. The 19-year-old, who has Kelly's name tattooed on her arm, showers the disturbing figure with kisses. As I mentioned, it also says that the doll was gifted to Felicity when she was just 13 after finding it on a creepy doll collection website. Yes, I'm sure it's creepydollcollectionwebsite.com. And the pair are now in love, according to the teen. Student said, I found Kelly on a creepy doll collection website, and I was gifted her when I was 13. It goes on to say, but it wasn't until I was 16 that I started getting feelings for her, but it was something that I kept on trying to deny. Looking at the pictures of this creepy doll.
Weird looking, right?
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand our relationship, she says. But I am so confident that I'm in love with Kelly that I got her name tattooed on my arm. We have a normal, intimate relationship, which is progressing in the normal way. And we're getting married in September. Wedding. Yes, a September wedding. Despite having owned Kelly for 6 years, Felicity claims it took her 3 years to discover her true feelings for the doll. So this woman here is marrying this doll. Now, here's a question, right? Here's a question. Maybe I'm going to look at this a different way. The doll does not speak clearly, right?
Nope.
So this is probably the best relationship. She's in a relationship with someone that can't speak.
No arguments.
Right, there's no arguments. Like, you can go kick it when you want to. What's the dog going to say, right? like, seriously. That's the best relationship. Now, of course, on the surface, right, she's marrying a zombie doll with fake blood on her face, right? But this is dope. You can get married to this doll. You can go kick it. You can cheat on this doll. What's the dog going to do?
Man haunts you. Have you seen those pictures? Those photos are creepy,
the
man.
The doll's not going to haunt you.
Absolutely, man. I'm not trying to sleep by one of those. No.
An intimate relationship with a zombie doll. The sex must be tremendous.
I guess.
Hold steady. Can you promise me you'll never leave me again? American woman who smuggled 1 kilogram of cocaine into Australia by hiding it in her high heels was groomed by a man she fell in love with online. So an American woman who smuggled 1 kilogram of cocaine into Australia by hiding her drugs in her high heels was lured into a country by a man she met. Denise Marie Woodrum, who is 51, decides that she wants to hide her cocaine in her heels for a dude. Put down the poll at ESPN 1000. Would you hide your cocaine in your heels for a dude?
That's some Pablo Escobar stuff right there.
The Missouri woman lived alone, had health complications, and had a marriage breakdown before she struck up an intimate relationship when a man named Hendrik Cornelius, whom she met online, of course, Hendrik Cornelius, left winger, I'm sure, for some hockey team overseas, because it has a K with Hendrik. Despite messaging constantly, the pair were to meet in Sydney. In July of last year, she texted the man, "Can you promise that you'll never leave me?" But despite exchanging hundreds of texts over the past 5 months, she never met this guy face to face. Her legal and her legal aid and lawyer, Rebecca Neal, said she was groomed to provide financial gain for Mr. Cornelius. She told District Judge Penelope Wass, there are fraudsters out there who are relying on women who are vulnerable. Can you believe this? She was convicted for importing a commercial quantity of cocaine on January 31st.
Love makes you do some crazy stuff. First a doll, and then a guy who tells you to hide his kilo of cocaine on your heels. Love.
So that's two stories in a row, which you can, that the story is that sex is overrated.
Pretty much. Yes. Yeah,
so, Felix, you have one story here where a girl is going to get married and hitched to a doll. And the next one is that this woman is willing to get in trouble. Risk getting in trouble by putting drugs in her heels for this dude that she's never met. That's got to be like a Lifetime movie at some point.
Has to be.
I mean, and back
with
and forth,
really bad acting.
Text messages back and forth, and then this, starring Meredith Baxter Burney. Of course, if it's a Lifetime film, the mom from Family Ties is perfect for this. She's still alive. Let me see what else we have here. I feel like I should stop. This is so bad.
A lot of love stories.
So weird, man. A man in Belleville, Illinois. Hello, Belleville, listening here in our state. Man rescued from mud with parrot perched on his shoulders. Firefighters had to rescue a southwestern Illinois man from deep mud after he became stuck while trying to reach his pet parrot. Come on. Come on, Belleville. You're better than that. You're better than that. Come on now. Y'all hear me down there? You got to be better than that. My God. Belleville firefighters were called Sunday afternoon to the city's Bicentennial Park after a visitor heard the man calling for help. This has to be the top news in Belleville on their local.
Yes.
With the boom mic in the background. This must be. This has to be.
Breaking news.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
there's nonsense outside, too. This has been a weird half hour. And not only are we reading these stories, but outside there's a man threatening one of our security guys outside of our window.
Oh.
He's trying to pretend like he's got a concealed weapon or whatever. Oh, this is happening in real time.
This is like World Star stuff, right?
It's unbelievable. Belleville firefighters were called Sunday afternoon to the city's Bicentennial Park after a visitor heard the man calling for help. Fire Chief Tom Poor, he's Tom Poor, tells the Belleville News Democrat the mud from the lake is being dredged is like quicksand, he says, that the man was the man is in mud up to his waist when crews arrived trying to reach his parrot. Neither the man or the bird was injured, by the way. Poor says that the man often rides around on his bike with the parrot on his shoulder. You know what? You deserve to lose that parrot. How about that?
Yes.
if you ride around with a parrot on your shoulder on the bike and he flies away and he's in mud, you deserve to lose him.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible this man also has a relationship with his parrot.
He's screwing his parrot. Is that what you're saying? Just like
possibly.
This doll?
Yeah.
Like this woman with cocaine heels?
There's a lot of creepy relationships going on. Yeah, it's very possible.
Cocaine heels. There
cocaine
you go.
Cocaine heels.
I mean, it is amazing. All right. Fix, what do you have?
Man donates to firefighter drive, but leaves his wedding ring behind. Massachusetts firefighter says a man who donated to their muscular drive accidentally dropped his wedding ring into their boot. The Daily Times reports the firefighter Lucas McRobb was collecting donations in the city on Friday when he found the plain gold wedding band. Lieutenant Kevin Gargan said the person met them at the fire station later that day, telling them, "I have a funny story," before explaining he was the one who made the accidental donation. Gargan said they never had anything like that happen since they started the annual donation drive. The department has now collected more than $7,300 so far. Most of the money will go towards the fund. How about that?
Wow.
Imagine just like coming in, getting ready to donate, and oops, there goes my wedding ring.
I know.
Try explaining that to your wife when you get back home.
I know.
That's not going to go well.
You better hope that she's understanding, but probably not.
Nope.
It is a wedding ring after all.
Yeah, it is.
And that, my friends, is Tales from the Hood on a Monday edition here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Okay. Wedding ring story, cocaine heels, married to a zombie, and parrot. Parrot on the shoulder while riding a bike. What's your favorite Tales from the Hood story? Caller 4, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. What's your favorite out of these stories that you enjoyed the most? The one that can tell us your favorite Tales from the Hood story will hook you up with tickets to the Fantasy Football Convention and Championship. It's taking place on August 25th. Stephania Bell, as well as Field Yates, Yurko Waddle, Sylvie, Carmen Kapp, they'll all be there. For the Fantasy Football Convention, caller 4 regular line, what's your favorite tale story that we just told you? 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number right here on UTH.
Jonathan Hood.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers in our next half hour. Also, we'll find out the pettiest in the sports weekend and give away Fantasy Football Convention tickets taking place at Joe's Live in Rosemont. All part of the mix right here with UTH.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Maybach Music.